the podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Tech Talk on Double T97.3 and DoubleT973.com. Thanks for joining us here on a Monday. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Brennan Riker behind the glass. Brennan, how are you doing today?
Good. First day of school, had three classes.
Oh, yeah. How was that? All psyched up for the semester?
You know.
That's encouraging.
Yeah, it is. I mean, they're going to be good classes, but it's like, mm-hmm. you know, they're the thought-provoking classes. It's like, I wanted to kind of cruise, but, you know, you're in college to get an education and learn something. So, but it was a good first day, for sure.
Did you take a cliche first day of school picture?
Yes, I did. Yeah. I woke my roommate up at 6:45, and I tapped on his door, and I said, I got to send this to my mother. Mm-hmm. So he unwillingly took the picture, and I sent it to my mom, and she appreciated it.
And not visible in the camera is him giving you the middle finger for right. waking him up.
Yes, there was probably some fingers behind yeah. the camera.
And how well do we know this roommate? This isn't like a new roommate, is
no,
it?
No. We went to high school together.
Yeah, oh, okay. Right. So it's not like not a first yeah. day kind of rando sort of thing. Right. And you're like, this the first like interaction is this guy waking me up at
yeah, this is your
before sunlight to take a picture. Like, this is going to be the I'm never go potluck on the roommate.
Right, yeah,
they've been buddies long enough to give each other the middle yeah. finger for waking them up.
So, oh, yeah. This is your friend that helps you eat. Gus, how much hamburger helper would you say you've eaten in your life?
Oh, you know, not much, not a ton. But there was a bunch back in the day, back when I would work earlier hours, I guess, than newlywed Dana and I were. Trying to think of what the circumstances were,
but I'm knocking it, by the way. We still
eat it. No, I know,
still
absolutely. It would be like me cooking a can of green beans and some hamburger helper. Like, hey, dinner's ready. Yeah. So it was really high-level stuff, but it's been, oh my gosh, it's been 20, 25 years probably. But I'm like you. I'm not a snob about it at all. Yeah.
I look forward to like random.
You bet.
But Brandon told us like a month ago that he and his roommate, I'm just putting this together, clearly the same one, or I would guess the same one, put out like 500 pounds of hamburger helper in a year together. Is that still the estimate, or has that been fine-tuned?
I think the estimate's a little lower, but I mean, it's probably, okay, if you take, we have it at least once a week, so and we use 2 pounds of beef, ground beef, so if you take, how many weeks are there in a year?
52, yeah.
52 times 2. It's
100.
At least
104.
104, but we might consume more if
mm-hmm. if it's a special week.
If there's nothing else and we got another box of it and there's a, you know, Ziploc bag of ground beef in the freezer, there's dinner.
Are you changing it up or is it like cheeseburger mac every time?
It's cheeseburger and then stroganoff.
Oh, yeah, stroganoff. Solid. Nice. Yeah. Yeah.
Good work.
So we alternate between that.
I don't know why I had to like pretend that anybody assumed I was knocking hamburger helper. Clearly, with
no,
my
no.
My
I can shove it in my mouth and consume it.
Rangers taking on the Diamondbacks tonight. Astros taking on the Red Sox. Gus, what do you foresee over the next month or so of baseball that you have left before the playoffs?
Yeah, again, a broad sense or just for those two?
Just
teams?
For those two teams.
Oh, I would imagine that this race stays tight. You know, the obviously the winner of that the race between those two is, and both have to view this weekend as a bit of a missed opportunity because they were both at home and both mm-hmm. getting swept. I mean, and in the highs and lows of a season, especially a Major League Baseball season, there's going to be, you know, the best team might win 60-something% of their games. Mm-hmm. So, But I would expect those two teams to do what they're doing right now and keep throwing blows. And you know, the trailer in that deal is going to be in a wild card race because the team's chasing. I mean, Seattle's tightened it up, and then you go over to the East, and the team's chasing. You know, Boston's heated up. They've beat the Yankees now 7 or 8 times in a row, and another sweep this weekend, another road sweep for them. Yeah. And so it's a, you know, I just think both races will have compelling wild card, you know, drama to the end. There will be a point, and there's probably a point now. I haven't done it yet, but because I guess we've been, what, 2 weeks without Josh Jung at third? They're probably holding down the spot defensively. Mm-hmm. They're kind of in a platoon situation. But, you know, on a given day, you may go, oh, man, we lost today because we didn't have Josh Jung at third. Well, you don't know if Josh was going to go 0 for 4 or 3 for 4 with two jacks. You know, I mean, you mm-hmm. But once you start stretching it out over a couple weeks, you can start to go, oh, the Rangers are feeling the absence of Josh Jung. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever. In whatever way. And my guess is just in following a little bit over the last couple weeks, and I've certainly missed plenty of games, but have been aware of most everything going on. I don't see a big chasm defensively over there, which means that they've got the, you know, they've got the utility guys to cover the spot defensively, but they're missing that guy with the 22 home runs, Josh, when he had 22 and 70 RBIs. I mean, they're missing that kind of middle of the lineup thump that Josh mm-hmm. provided them.
So when you look at between the Astros and the Rangers, clearly you just want, if you're either squad, you just want to go out and win the division, right? Want to have a great stretch and just have things locked up. And
put it to bed, yeah.
But is there one that you think would fare better? Like if the Astros were the wild card, right? Mm. You go, okay, well, they could still make the World Series. They know what it takes to go there, where maybe as the Rangers you go, boy, it sure would have been a lot more beneficial to them to not go the wild card route.
Yeah,
do you buy into any of that?
It's a fair question. And you never really know. I mean, we can all sort of assign a narrative to it after the fact and go, see, told you.
Right.
They weren't ready. Or sure. See, told you, it didn't matter. Like, well, yeah. It really has more to do with the... Yeah, and so, you know, we would probably talk about that because the key thing here, for someone who might need to reset, is the top two get the bid. The bye. The top two in the league, best two records in each league, American and National, get the bye, and then 3 through 6 play a best of 3 wild card. Mm-hmm. It's almost like and it really does have a feel like super regional weekend or something, you know, where or whoever loses on game one is like, hey, you're playing for your season tomorrow.
Yeah, immediate backs against the wall. I mean, the mindset.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think the you know, so it's hard to know who's built for it versus not built for it. The Phillies last year went from road team from the very get-go. They were road team. And then all three games of that wild card are played at the higher seeds barn. Mm-hmm. So they're not flying back and forth and doing that. And so, you know, I would love to see, and this is no slam dunk. You get the home field and you got it made, as with most professional playoffs. It's just not the case. There's a slight advantage, but mm-hmm. I would love to see, first of all, I would love to see Rangers 1, Astros 2. Probably not going to happen. The Orioles are probably having plenty to say about that. I would also love to see Rangers and Astros play each other at some point in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
Be great. Preferably in the second round, because I would want to see more than 3 games and them going back and forth to each other's park. I would think that would just be a juiced environment. That would be a blast to watch, and it would be like, man, anybody want to give me some tickets? I'll go.
The 3-game series is interesting because I think everybody, I would venture to guess, at least maybe the heavy want from everyone is to see Texas and Houston match up in the playoffs. At least that's what I've heard a bunch, mm-hmm. and I think it's an easy stance to take. If it was the 3-game, boy, it'd be just like you got an appetizer, regardless of who won mm-hmm. it. It would be almost like a tease,
oh, man.
Right?
No doubt.
Oh, man.
I, like, I, Yeah, and that's where a dude on the mound, you know, a Verlander, a Scherzer, you know, that kind of a guy. And I would say about both of those guys, maybe a slightly younger version of them, because think about both of those guys being late 30s or what, 40, mm-hmm. and Verlander right at 40. I mean, you know, so but still, that kind of ace dude that can go lock something down and carry some innings is a big deal.
Back with more Tech Talk next here on Double T 97.3.
Podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
It is the juice. Welcome back to Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com. Live from the First United Bank Studio, Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Brendan Riker behind the glass taking care of us. We'll start what's on the airwaves tonight. 7 o'clock, it's the High School Fan Zone, the first edition. Games will start kicking off here for LISD and Friendship and Cooper on Friday. Tonight's High School Fan Zone will feature coaches from Coronado at 7 and Estacado at 7:30 as they join Garrett Luft right here in the First United Bank Studio over on 100.7. The Score. After that, you'll join In Progress with the Astros and Red Sox. 8 o'clock here on Double T 97.3. The Rangers start a series of their own. They'll take on Arizona. And that is an 8 o'clock pregame coverage here, 8:40 first pitch projected. News out of Ann Arbor today. Michigan self-imposed a 3-game ban for Jim Harbaugh. He was trying to negotiate, or he, I should say, Michigan with the NCAA, was trying to negotiate a 4-game suspension in the offseason. Didn't come to fruition, fell apart. And now trying to avoid any further penalty, hoping to put it behind them. We'll see what happens. A self-banned 3-game suspension. An interim has not been named yet for the Wolverines, but he will not be coaching against the gauntlet of East Carolina, UNLV, and Bowling Green before taking the sideline back in Michigan's Big Ten opener September 23rd. Against Rutgers. Whew. And good to have him back for that one. You're the Wolverines. Toughy.
Yeah, no doubt.
last night for Texas Tech soccer, talked about it a little bit earlier, but they beat New Mexico State 5-0 in their home opener over at the John Walker Soccer Complex. Alex Kerr and Ashley Williams both scored twice. Hannah Anderson, preseason All Big 12 selection, had a penalty kick go into the net. They'll be back at home on Thursday against Ball State. That'll be a 7 o'clock first touch. So if you're in town wanting something to do, go check out Tom Stone's crew over there. It's always a good time. You too can join us on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, questions, reactions, all that welcome there. Gus, talked about this a little bit in the break. Or a break earlier, but I wanted to bring it up. Iowa State has been, and you can lump Iowa into this as well, but, I mean, Iowa State's the one that affects the Big 12. It's been, you know, such a mess of an offseason, and you got a little bit of a teaser feels like the wrong word, because that's always, almost always for something good. Oh, God, we wanted more of that. And I don't think, even if you're a rival, which it's funny if you go, a rival from Iowa State is Iowa, and they were doing the same exact thing.
Mm-hmm.
No one's really, to my knowledge, going, boy, want more of this, because it's been such a mess. But you go back like 4 or 5 months ago when this was first dropped, and like, hey, you know, keep an eye out for this because there are Iowa athletes and Iowa State athletes across multiple sports that are involved with the gambling scandal, and as stuff gets figured out, there will be more to come. And you've already had the heavy drop about a month ago, and you knew some of the names, especially for Iowa State. You have like Hunter Deckers, who clearly comes to the front of your mind because that's their quarterback that will not be playing. Today, Iowa State starting running back Jarrell Brock, who was already listed in this, has voluntarily left the program. And I don't think anyone was just over the moon excited or over the moon worried about Iowa State's offense, right? I mean, it was night and day worse, night and day different when you go what Iowa State's defense was last year, best in the league, to Iowa State's offense, which was just flat out inept. Mm-hmm. And now this year, it didn't look like it was just going to get drastically better, but you still had some returning faces. And it's like, is this going to be a historically bad offense that you're going to watch this year? Because it's got a recipe. I mean, no Xavier Hutchinson either at wide receiver anymore. Like, who is a go-to guy on that roster right now?
I mean, there's certainly an opportunity for somebody to emerge, but you're right that, you know, you think about our game with them last year, and like Xavier Hutchinson was their best player in that game. They were throwing it all over, and they're dragging a toe and one hand and stuff. Like, man, you know, like nobody else scares you in it. And I can't sit here and tell you tactically what adjustment we made, but Xavier Hutchinson quit catching everything that was thrown near him, as he had done earlier in that ball game, and we found a way to come back and win it at the end. But suddenly, as you said, he's gone. And whether you want to go, oh, Hunter Decker, he's no good, or, you know, however you want to assign that. Mm-hmm. He was their best quarterback, okay? I mean, he was their starter last year, was going to be their starter this year. Now, maybe there's some ascending young talent that none of us have ever heard of that they're excited about. Like, well, he's going to play a little sooner than we wanted him to, and maybe he does great things for him. Mm-hmm. But then you put with that the news of today, which is their best running back, their returning starter, leading rusher type guy, out due to the gambling stuff, has stepped away from the program. And you start to go, man, that's a lot of skill. I'm not saying that those two guys are these bright, shining talents or whatever, but if you're in the locker room at Iowa State, you're going, hey, that's our best running back that's gone. Hey, that's our best quarterback that's gone. And the other thing about it too, you just hate this for this is true of anything. You get, if whether it's a basketball injury in October or November, a baseball injury in February or January, February, a football injury in August or September, and it's going to happen as scrimmages and stuff. I mean, we're already seeing the crawl and on the NFL stuff, and you know, key college guys or whatever. But you're already into your depth. It's one thing to go, well, we feel pretty good about our backup. Okay, well, how do you feel about your number three? Because your number three is now the guy that's a step, a rolled ankle, a this or a that away.
Yeah.
And you've got 12 games to cover with your number two. Now, most teams go into a season going, yeah, we got two or three running backs we feel good about. You know, third guy didn't have much experience, but there's probably some talent there or whatever. Most coaches, if they've got two pretty good Division I quarterbacks that are ready to play now, you'd say you got a decent room. Texas Tech last year had a really good room because there was three Division I starting quarterbacks. And what happened, one of them moved out and went on to a conference rival in Donovan Smith.
And then won the job. I mean.
Right, and won the job. Yeah. So that's a pretty good indication. And, you know, probably this time next year, Baron Morton will be our starting quarterback. You know, we'll, and then you can go look back at 2022 and go, man, that was a pretty good quarterback room, just as Coach Kittley and McGuire and all those guys had said. But to the point of this text or your question, they're already into their depth at two key positions. Mm-hmm. Like, they haven't lost a defensive tackle yet, or if they have, we haven't, you know, we wouldn't know it if we, you know, without digging through the Des Moines newspaper or whatever. But you get what I'm saying. Like, yeah. That's that, you know, and so now they have to have a season that's played with near perfect health. You know, the QB can't get dinged up and go, oh, well, they had to start their number two. No, they're doing that now. Like, their number two is their guy now. And so whoever back in April was their number three, and at their whatever their, what would you call that, the red gold game or whatever their inner squad thing was that they played.
Team Psy and Team Clone.
You got it. You got it. Absolutely. Whatever that game was that they played back in April, and it was a bunch of guys we'd never heard of because Hunter Decker did his quarter, went and sat down. Because, you know, now you're looking at that guy going, hey, Joe Blow, you're ready, right? You're the one who's now a snap away.
Well, and I would, I don't know how, like, you which is funny, probably shouldn't say this around this team. I don't know how you bet on this, but if you put down like number of quarterbacks that are starting for Iowa State, I'd venture to guess, you know, if it's at 1.5, go ahead and hammer the over there. Because I would think that you're going to see maybe a few guys. Maybe it's one or two, even if you had the backup set. It was just so bad last year, and you're going to have so many things you're trying to throw against the wall. That to your point, even though Hunter Deckers was horrible last year, wasn't really helped out just a ton by the offensive line, but, I mean, he held onto the ball a lot, really inaccurate. Xavier Hutchinson, what you described, what you saw against Texas Tech, by the way, you were not the only team who went that. That dude was catching everything. Right. He's catching stuff on his back hip. He's throwing stuff that he had no business going up and getting and coming down with. I mean, that was one of the best offensive weapons in the Big 12 and was wasting away on a horrid Cyclone offense last year. Now, he was on some pretty good ones before that when you still had Purdy around, still had Breece Hall around, you still had Charlie Kolar around. But regardless of how you feel about Hunter Deckers, I mean, for a good reason, we put emphasis on, and college football has emphasis on, returning production. And you're allowed to get better, too. And you would think, hopefully in the offseason, he learned some from his mistakes. Now, regardless of how you felt, all of that goes out of the window. Right. And same thing with, like, Brock. I mean, he wasn't a 1,000-yard rusher, but he was a known. And now you have, from your skill set, you have way more questions than known, and I mean,
I agree.
If you're an Iowa State fan, what is your expectation going into this year? Because the defense should still be at least solid.
Too bad the Red Raiders aren't playing them.
I know. It's Tech Talk on Double T97.3.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk podcast from Double T97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
It's Tech Talk on Double T97.3 and DoubleT973.com. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Brennan Riker. We teased you as we went to a break. So we come right back. And
remind me. I forgot what we were talking about.
We were talking... the never mind tease. We were talking about... You had the bat signal to Coach Kittley.
Wes Kittley. Yep. Yep. Saw him last night at soccer. Said hello. And asked him that question. What of the new facilities coming in, of the new Big 12 teams coming in for this year, for the next? Because right now, the indoor track meet, the Big 12 championship track meet alternates between Lubbock and Ames, Lubbock and Ames, Lubbock and Ames. You know, Iowa State, Tech are the two that can host a championship event. And, you know, I think the sentiment is that ours is the best, the better of the two, but, you know, whatever. Anyway, and Coach Kittley said a couple things. He said Houston has an indoor facility, but it's not, it doesn't have the seating and some of those other things, but they can host an indoor meet. I think about our old bubble, the old indoor facility that used to be the white bubble on the south end of the football stadium that was there, you know, 10 years ago. Texas Tech ran indoor meets there, but you weren't going to host the Big 12 championships. You understand the difference.
Yeah.
You could qualify in there. I will say that you could qualify, you know, if you ran a good time or whatever, you qualify for the NCAA regionals or however that works. But, anyway, he said Houston is the one that's coming in that has a facility that's like that, you know, that has an indoor facility, but they don't have the seating and stuff. And so he thinks we're still going to stay in a pretty heavy rotation for that indoor meet. And he also said there's renovation going on in Ames. And so I think we will host this coming spring, because I think that indoor meet's in, what, February? That's usually right at the beginning of baseball season, the actual Big 12 indoor championship meet. And we've got it the next 2 years.
Oh, how about that?
24 and 25 due to Iowa State renovations or whatever. And again, the whole genesis of the question was, all right, are we going to have to be passing that around with, you know, there's
right now, five so all new of a sudden a newcomer in Utah's over there going,
right,
hey, we've got a great facility over here. Why don't you come over here?
And apparently they don't, or they don't have anything capable of hosting the championship. So, Coach, you know, so the fact that hopefully we can keep that indoor meet on a fairly regular rotation in here, that'd be great.
We get this on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. You can hit us up there as well. From a question from Bobby Hot Dogs. How long do you guys think it's been, if ever, since AD has stepped on a golf course?
Probably not much longer than me stepping on a golf course, but you're probably asking that for different reasons.
Right. I would say at the soonest, most recent, 15 years. Agree?
Yeah, I can't argue with it.
Yeah.
I can't argue with that at all.
This on the chat line, a little help here. Once a country artist produces a song with a rapper or pop artist on the track, that's when you've entered bro country.
All right. That's fair.
Eric on Wheels asked if did McMillan hit a home run off the engineering building against TCU?
See, I thought it got revised to pretty quickly to off the engineering building. So I don't think it got to the engineering building. And I thought Masters was farther because I think the distance from right center field to the engineering, to this nearest corner of the engineering building, is closer than the center field shot that Masters hit that bounced up off of the facing of that. But, I have a tape measure. They're both majestic blasts, no doubt. And
Weed strain.
Yeah, I like that. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
And, the irony is we're talking about the memorable shots. And I think of the ones that I've named, because I think Berkman's was hit left-handed, if I remember the legend. I say legend just because I didn't see it.
Yeah.
With my own eyes, but I've heard about it. But I thought he hit that left-handed. I may be wrong. But I'm sitting here thinking, in a park that where the prevailing southwest wind blows across from right to left, and so the ball, the ball flies here typically out to left, and I've named, four what I would consider to be, fairly recent, big five recent or recent memory type home runs.
Mm-hmm.
And four of them are either center to right field, so not in the prevailing wind zone of, because we're talking about home runs, at least one that went over the scoreboard, right center field. It's like we're not even, the legend, these legendary blasts haven't all, the wind blows Lubbock. I'm sitting here describing a bunch of home runs going out to right field, so it's not even the prevailing wind. But and the other legendary home run, and I'll say this, Clint, this one's gotten a lot of talk over the years, and Coach Ashby will tell it, but you'll also hear Arkansas people tell it, that 1984 Johnny Grimes was our best player at Texas, but I was still in high school when this happened. But Grimey hit one at Arkansas that landed up on that rec center building. And they say like it must have been a 600-foot home run or some 500 and whatever foot monstrosity, like just a monster. And Grimey, that name's not going to mean a lot to you guys, but you've covered Texas Tech in the last couple of years to know that when a guy gets around, 24 home runs, it's Jace Young, John right. Grimes. That's the Johnny Grimes. And Grimey was the – call him Grimey. He got to be friends over the years with him, even though I never played with him. He'd come around and hit and do different things when he was playing pro ball. But he the pride of Midland, Texas now, but he just got to be friends with him over the years, but he was really good, like Southwest Conference Player of the Year 1984, second team All-American, so Texas Tech Athletic Hall of Famer. So he but it matches because he was a big strong dude, and evidently he hit one that just golf shot.
And I'm not saying like this is what he is, but this is an umbrella that he falls under, to your point. And you can say the same thing for like a Jace or a Josh. That you get into those radar and target names, like when a Gavin Cash is having a season like that, and then it pops back up because you're target chasing.
Sure.
Some of those things that are set. So it's a good, it's a good thing when anybody like that's getting brought up, but usually in that scenario, it's a really good thing because it means someone's on track for something special.
Right. You got it. Absolutely.
Eric on Wheels also said, Gus, do you remember that Fish kid from Oklahoma State? He hit a bomb over the light pole in right field and hit the street over the bullpen. I think that's the longest home run I have seen at the law.
I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it one bit.
This from Tug for if my fake scenario of Chumbawamba or a one-hit wonder were to play at Raider Alley. Start with a bang, end with a bang when it comes to set lists. Hopefully you have a couple decent songs hardcore fans like in between to keep the people into it.
I remember back in, the story was in about 91 or thereabouts, but somebody had seen the Georgia Satellites. Mm-hmm. And they had had that song. We'd all remember it, even you. And I know this was well before your time. Look that up. They were a one-hit band.
I need my search music back there.
Yep. Give us some film music.
Keep your hands to yourself.
Yeah. And somebody had seen him like in Tulsa, you know, maybe fronting or at a club, or it wasn't. I don't. You know, they weren't playing arenas or whatever, but. And I think I was told they played the song three times in their set, like first, middle, last kind of a deal. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you're a one-hit wonder. And this is, yeah, they
play
probably
that
were
same
on their,
song.
Yeah, they probably were on their first album, you know, and had that hit. And they were like, we only know like 10 songs. I don't.
It's like someone's looking around like, am I being tricked? Is there a repeat button from the stage that someone keeps pressing?
And you're the musician, but I would think, man, could you not like stick some covers in there or something to fill this out? Or maybe just play it the twice instead of three times? You know, like, I get it. We're all here to want to hear that song. I get it. But dang, three times?
I remember going, we were at a festival in Dallas one time, and Joywave is Bam's plan. And they were just coming out at the time with another album. And they opened up with this song, right? Play it first. And the guy's like, that's off of our new album coming out. He's like, and we love it. We're so proud of it. And we like that song so much, we're going to play it. And back to back, the same song. And the second one, I was like, okay, I'm kind of out on these guys. Whoa. They were good, but I was like, do I boo? Right. I feel like I should boo.
Right.
Oh, my. At least give us some space. But he's like, no, we're going right back into it. Longest version ever. It's Tech Talk on Double T97.3, hour number 3 coming up next.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk podcast from Double T97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Welcome back to Tech Talk. Got us on Double T97.3 and Double T97.3.com. One more hour with us as we take you all the way up to 6 o'clock. Make sure to go ahead and get your questions in for Ask Tech Talk. That'll be at 5:45 coverage tonight. The High School Fan Zone returns. First episode this year. Garrett Luft will be live right here in the First United Bank studio. 7 o'clock, he'll talk with Coronado. 7:30, Estacado. 8 o'clock over there on the Score, you'll join In Progress coverage between the Astros and Red Sox. 8 o'clock right here on Double T97.3 pregame for the Rangers and Diamondbacks. Live from the First United Bank studio, you can call us on the Visual Edge IT hotline, 806-771-0973, or you can hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, questions, reactions. Gus, every once in a while, you know, something like this will happen where, you know, Hope 80s gets to feeling better, a little under the weather today. But every once in a while, we'll get to do this where we get a host together, and almost every time we do, I like to play a game. Are you in a game-type mood?
Oh, sure.
And Brennan, you can play as well as we start up a round of Duck, Duck, Gus. So if you've never played along with Duck, Duck, Gus, essentially it is which is most likely to happen out of three different options. So we'll start with baseball, shall we?
All right.
Your Gus pick here. Which is more likely to happen? A Texas team wins the World Series in the MLB. Okay. Neither Texas team makes it to the ALCS, or neither Texas team wins the division. What's most likely to happen?
Say the second one.
Neither Texas team makes it to the ALCS.
I'd probably take that middle one. That's probably the safer ground there of the three choices.
If I had said just makes the World Series and not wins the World Series, would that make that more an easier pick?
No, I'd probably stay with that one. But yeah, just the odds of it are, because it's six whittling down to one in the scenario you're talking about. But both, I mean, I'm legit sitting here hoping that they meet up deeper into the play. I mean, I'd take any playoff matchup, but I hope it's deeper into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like with a lot riding on it.
I line up with you on this one. I would think out of those options that it's neither team from Texas makes it to the ALCS. And it's not like either squad's perfect, but certainly when you look around the AL, I mean, I feel like they have just as good a chance as any to make a World Series. But, hey, that's what upsets
four. And I feel like the Braves are the best team in the whole shooting match, and they'll have the Dodgers to contend with. Mm-hmm. But whereas the AL, the best team is one of the really young teams, so you don't know what, you know, what's going to happen with Baltimore.
Well, and the playoffs are a completely different animal, and that's why I asked about, like, hey, is one team, do you think, between the Rangers or the Astros, would they be quote-unquote better built if you were going the wild card route, mm-hmm. where the Astros have, you know, at least had some, it's not everyone that's been on the World Series teams, but some that have seen what it takes to get there, and does that make a difference? I mean, the opposite side is true. When you have a young team that's never really seen that level of expectation at all from a playoff standpoint, then, I mean, that's a whole different ball game.
No doubt.
Brennan, which one would you select?
Can you repeat the options, please?
A Texas team wins the World Series. Neither Texas team makes it to the ALCS, or neither Texas team actually wins the division.
Yeah, I'd probably go with that middle one as well.
All right, let's go to some college football, shall we? Switch gears here. What's more likely to happen? A non-SEC team wins the college football playoff. Four conferences are represented in the college football playoff. Or the Heisman Award goes to someone from the Big 12 Conference.
Oh. It's hard to sit here and proclaim the team that's outside the SEC that's going to win that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly Georgia being as good as they are and the odds on favorite. LSU's a top five. Evidently, Bama's a top five.
Mm-hmm. Who knows what Tennessee's going to be this year?
Right. It's hard. And so.
And it's just been dominated by
them. Big 12, four-team champ. Oh, man. I'd love the second one. And you said a Big 12 Heisman. Good mm-hmm. grief.
who is that going to be?
Oh.
Is it Xavier Worthy? I mean, I guess you could say Quinn Ewers, but.
I mean, yeah, you know what all they would have to do? You know, for a receiver to win that thing, it's got to be...
Oh, it's got to be special, yeah, but I just...
Which the Bama guy was a couple years ago, Smith, right? Smith?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, so I guess I'd go... I don't know how likely this is, but the four-team option, four teams in the playoff, that'd be great. I think it'd make it more compelling.
We are, once again, simpatico, Gus, because I just, to win the whole thing, it's been dominated by the SEC, and I don't see why it's going to be any different this mm-mm. year. But, I mean, to the likelihood, maybe not likely, because how many years in a row have we seen? And now the Big Ten has also kind of pulled up a chair to we have two teams now, and I feel like they have a great chance to do that as well as with what we've seen with the SEC of getting two teams in the four-team playoff. But what does Clemson do this year? Do they get a little bit more on track? What does Garrett Riley do over there in the ACC? And you mm-hmm. could say Florida State, too. My money would be on Clemson. And then does USC actually get it done? Like, do you see a Georgia, Michigan, USC, Clemson? Because I could see that happening. Again, I wouldn't put any serious money on it, but from those three choices... That one seems the most likely.
Yeah, I agree.
The Big 12 Heisman seems the most far-fetched.
Yeah, and just, yeah, because you, I mean, if you're going to pick that, you probably need to go to the quarterback position.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a requirement, but more likely that's been the
leader in the clubhouse. The
most, yeah, exactly. And so then you start looking around, and our preseason it's probably going to be a quarterback on a championship contender. And you know what? That'd be great if the answer to all of this is Mr. Shuck.
Oh, yeah.
He leads us to the Big 12 championship, a Final Four, and he's a Heisman candidate in and around all that. I'd be just fine with all that. It's hard for, given the list of choices you gave me, it's hard to pick that, but I am here for it.
Brennan, which selection would you like?
I know there's no one from Big 12 that really stands out as a Heisman candidate, but give me option number 3. I don't see.
Wow.
4. I think that's more likely than 4 different conferences being represented and an SEC team not winning the national championship.
I would say, like, for me and my, clearly the 4 conferences represented number 1, and then the non-SEC team winning would be number 2, just because, I mean, Ohio State and Michigan, both super talented, and if USC gets there, see what happens this year, but again, not likely to me. It's Tech Talk on Double T97.3.
It's every Red Raider's favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
It's Tech Talk on Double T97.3 and Double T97.3.com. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, and Brennan Riker. Rangers and Diamondbacks. And we'll be off and running at 8 o'clock here on Double T97.3. Jordan Montgomery on the mound tonight for the Rangers. Astros will be in action at 8 o'clock, 100.7 The Score, after the first edition of the High School Fan Zone this year. High School Fan Zone with Garrett Luft will start at 7. You want a couple more duck-duck guesses?
Sure.
All right, we'll tee them up. Okay, let's go to the Big 12. And again, as I preface this, because I've seen a couple there on the chat line, these are all things that are hard decisions, not that we think exactly will happen.
Right.
Just tough
given,
choices
given
out
the
there.
Choices, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure.
The highest win total for any of the new 4 this year in the Big 12 will be 6. Or the state of Oklahoma teams will be capped off at 6. Or the state of Kansas is capped off at 6. What is most likely to happen?
I'd probably go with of those 3 choices, I would go with the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I think UCF would surpass 6 of those 3 choices, I would take that one.
Brennan?
So this is what's more likely?
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think UCF and BYU surpass 6, or at least get there. Mm-hmm. I would go with the Oklahomas.
I think that's, again, just because you have 4, and also I think UCF will reach past 6. I mean, if Oklahoma's what they look like last year, I think they'll be better, but I think that it's more likely that one over the other in Oklahoma could fall apart. And I have no faith in Oklahoma State this year.
Yeah,
I just don't. So I think I agree with Brennan. I think, even though, again, not picking it to happen, but of the 3, I would guess the Oklahoma's there. And the only reason staying away from Kansas is because Kansas State.
Sure.
I mean, just
absolutely
consistent.
Yeah.
And, you know, a reason why they have been pick to at least be in the Big 12 championship game, if not win it, depending on where you look. All right, how about Texas Tech football, Gus? Most likely to happen here. Texas Tech football has a first-teamer for the All-Big 12 on offense, All-Big 12 first-teamer on defense, or none. And this is where it gets tough now that you have 14 teams that you're trying to divvy up all this stuff.
And you're basically the answer to this question is, who's your best player? Who's your best candidate, and what side of the ball is he on?
Well, who's your best player? And then when you look around the conference,
do their
best players line up with that?
Because if you have a year where there's 5 great running backs, it gets tough.
Right.
And believe me, that happens, and that just happens. There are years where there's two great shortstops in the conference. There's years where there's five great catchers. There's years where there's six great kickers. Mm-hmm. There's years where there's two great kickers. You know, it's
just, how many times in the Big 12 had you looked around there for a while and go, who's going to win quarterback? Because there's right. like four or five really, really good ones in
sure.
there.
I would, you know, I'll say this. I hope the answer is defense. Mm-hmm. Because I hope Hutchings probably has the year that everyone's hoping for from him, just because he's one of the more touted players on the team, mm-hmm. returning starter, been a name that people around the conference have, not that he's a household name, not playing as an interior lineman, but, you know, has been, you know, at the very least a contributor to a starter, and now a guy that's a preseason all Big 12 type guy. So let's hope that he has a healthy anchor type year for a resurgent Texas Tech defense, and people who came in the year with good expectations see nothing but him delivering on those expectations. And at the end of the year, we're talking about him as the no-brainer, you know, one of the either – it depends on how they set up those lines. If it's just D linemen or D tackles, D ends, you know, if they mm-hmm, specify right. the thing or not. But regardless, that he has the year everyone's looking for.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a reason that's a preseason All Big 12 guy there for you, one of two. And again, I also look around the league, and this is where I go, okay, position wise, you're not just littered in the conference. And I'm not trying to take away anything from Jalen Hutchings, because I think he is a really good interior lineman, and he has a great shot at doing just that. Also, I mean, it helps. I mean, the amount of starts, what, like 46 as a Red Raider that he's got, like he's been around. Huge. And you can go with Tony Bradford here, too, for me, for both of these on this. Mm-hmm. The weight of the decision of coming back was massive for, to me, defensive expectations. When you like, nail down that group, and when you do the question mark game of where are your strengths going to be, what are you worried about coming into the season? I mean, if neither of those guys decided to come back, I'm not saying you'd be bad in that spot, but you'd certainly go, okay, well, who's it going to be? Where, again, we talked about the known with Iowa State, and you have the known with those guys. So I think that's a great answer. Brendan, offense, defense, or none?
I'm inclined to say offense. It's hard for me not to see anyone in the offense. Not saying that I feel more likely offense than defense, but I think you'll, outside of playing this game, I think outside you'll see at least one from each side mm-hmm. of the ball.
But offense, if you had to pick one, and see offense,
yes.
Ultimately, I'm going with offense as well, because you can hedge your bets a little bit there.
Right, right.
I think, you know, you mentioned you never know in the conference. Like, oh, boy, that's just like, look at all of these great running backs when you stack sure. up the team. And when you say that position, now I know, you know, Jaron Bradley, there's your other first team preseason guy, so you can start with him. Maybe a Dre McCray has a fantastic all Big 12 type year. Hopefully Tyler Shuck is your all Big 12 quarterback. But I look at, and then like, you know, Rusty Stats, hopefully right. you have, although you've got some serious competition in the conference of offensive line, where I think it's the opposite of defensive line, where you got some dudes that's going to be a tough list to be on there. So anywhere close to there, successful season for sure.
Right.
But I look at like Taj Brooks, and you only have 1,000 yard returning rusher in the Big 12.
That's interesting.
Devin Neal there at Kansas,
and we just spun off one of the returning starters today.
Right.
The if you're just getting in your car and haven't seen this, the Iowa State running back that's been part of the gambling investigation up there, mm-hmm. their returning starter at running back, has stepped away from the program. So that's now quarterback and best running back.
And I don't think anyone was – because he was on the original list of names for Jarrell Brock, but I don't think anyone was, like, banking on him playing, but still, like
– right.
Pen to paper, there's the official.
It's official.
But and then, like, Richard Reese at Baylor – he'll certainly be a competitor for this, but part of it is lack of feature backs. Mm-hmm. And what does it seem like you have this year that you haven't? And it's not that you haven't had talented running backs, but with Taj Brooks and Sirajic Thompson, it's been 1A, 1B, right? So suddenly it doesn't seem like you're splitting carries. If the offensive line is better, suddenly you have, you know, hopefully running lanes to go through where it's not, hey, here's the ball. Oh, also here's a guy in the backfield. Make him miss and then still get a good net, still get right. a good average there. So I'm curious about that recipe. But overall, I think if you had your bets, I think I'd go offense as well. Let us know what you think on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. This on the chat line, first team for defense, Jalen Hutchings, Miles Cole, or Rabbit will be first team.
I like it.
I like it.
I'm good with any of that. I want a bunch of them on there.
That's, I didn't.
You know, the best way to get a bunch of dudes on the All Big 12 team and All Americans?
Win a bunch of games.
Generally speaking, yeah.
Yeah, go. Hey, by the way, kick the snot out of everybody.
You bet. Very cool this weekend to see Sir Roderick score a touchdown in the for the Seahawks against the Cowboys. Hopefully he's. I mean, he's obviously getting carries. He's gotten carries in both of these games. It's not easy to make an NFL roster at that position, and I don't know what his realistic chance is. I don't know. I'm not saying that to sound doubtful or whatever. I don't know if they're, you know, they've had injuries or the tough part about it is at this point in the season too, you might go, oh man, Seattle's had a bunch of running back injuries, and I'm throwing this out there as a hypothetical. The problem is right at the end of camp, everyone makes cuts and everyone can go pick up everybody else's pieces. And so it's you know, but regardless, I hope it seems like he's doing well, and hopefully that continues. Love to see him on a roster.
This has been the Tech Talk Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at Double T 97.3.com.